The new exhibition, Celebrating Suffrage at the Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute in Utica, New York, marks the 100-year anniversary of Congress's ratification of women's suffrage, the right for American women to vote in all government elections. Women found unique creative outlets before and after they were officially recognized as full citizens of the United States. This exhibition explores the role of art as a vehicle for women, as individuals or in groups, to reflect, reform, or challenge social beliefs and political practices of their era. Celebrating Suffrage examines how women created their place within the larger art community, adding an important vision that has often been overlooked or undervalued. The anniversary presents the opportunity to celebrate the contributions to subject matter, materials, and means of expression that women have made to the visual arts in the United States. To learn more, we welcome Miranda Hofeld. She is curator of the 19th Century American Art Collection at the Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute in Utica, New York. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Miranda to the program. How are you?
I'm doing great.
It's very nice to have you on the program. I thank you very much for coming in. This is, I should say, if not completely clear in the introduction that I just read, the name of the exhibit is Celebrating Suffrage, Women Artists from the Collection. So you get to dive into the archives a little bit.
It was such a thrill. We were really, really excited. Of course, we knew people like Mary Cassatt or Lorna Simpson and Carrie Mae Weems. However, we just discovered this treasure trove of women artists who were hung in storage on the top screens, you know, or out of view. And also because so many women, particularly in the 1800s, were working in media that wasn't valued as fine art. So textiles, quilts, works on paper, watercolors, those kinds of things. It was amazing to kind of go through and discover all of these creative expressions that women were using and finding alternatives to express themselves, both in terms of intellectual interests as well as visual expressions.
So a chicken or the egg question, which comes first, the idea of this celebration of suffrage or a really good deep dive in the collection to say we could go in this direction, this direction, and this direction?
Well, actually, it was the whole suffrage. A number of art museums across the country this year are really going into their collections. And I think the Me Too movement also was something that helped us to
spurn that.
Really spurn that. And what we then discovered was just how incredibly rich our collection was. And Mary Murray, who was the curator of modern and contemporary art, she and I decided to collaborate on this. And we actually have, our earliest piece is by Isabella Francis, and it's from 1801. And our most recent pieces are actually from 2020, because we have four women full-time faculty members from Pratt MWP who also are participating in the exhibition.
And when you put out that call, what were you looking for from those women?
Well, actually, one of the things that we were really fascinated with was how to make an exhibition not be just a history of, but rather to look at the ways in which women are from the past and women from the present are relating to each other. And so we came up actually with 12 different categories. And for instance, there's one called The Bonds of Womanhood that looked at how women used art to create these very strong, loving relationships. And these included things like quilts, friendship quilts, commonplace book pages, or silhouettes. A lot of these materials, particularly needlework, have been undervalued. And so contemporary artists come back, particularly in the 70s, but it continues today, to reevaluate that artwork and to recuperate it and show its value as an expressive means for women to connect both in the 1800s and now in the 1970s.
I want to go through a couple of the pieces in the show just as an example. But before we do that, how do they, when you put them up on the wall or you display them, how do you find that they relate to one another?
Well, that was what was really cool, because there are all these conversations on the wall between these different works of art.
Right.
And for instance, one of the really cool things was we have Lorna Simpson, who is an African-American artist. We have a piece by her called Counting, which is from 1990. And beside it, we actually have a series of photographs done right around in the late 1890s, early 1900s by Rachel Munson Williams Proctor. And they're selfies, if you can believe it.
Wow.
And so this issue of identity, both in the Lorna Simpson as well as in the Rachel Munson Williams Proctor pictures, really kind of play off each other and kind of challenges the notion of both race and femininity.
You mentioned Mary Cassatt, but there's By the Pond from 1898 in the exhibit. It's a beautiful work.
Yeah. By the Pond is really fascinating because Mary Cassatt did that probably on her estate, which was just north of Paris. And it was at a moment where she was looking to modernize the notion of the mother and child. And she actually does that through the psychological relationship between the mother and child, which actually links to what's known as the mirror phase, which Jacques Lacan is going to actually theorize later in the century. But what you find in a lot of Cassatt's paintings and works on paper are a child seated on its mother's lap, engaging in looking at itself in the mirror. So it's a separate entity. So she's looking at psychology. She's creating a really unique technique called aquatint. And she's also showing this kind of Madonna and child image in a modern setting. Interestingly, while she was trying to be a modernist, in America, her works were interpreted as encouraging the notion of motherhood and the birth of more white children.
Interesting. Another piece that I would like to talk about, which really struck me, is Ferry Boat. This is Mabel Dwight. It's a lithograph.
It's a lithograph.
A lithograph.
So it's a print.
Print.
And typically you take a grease pencil to a stone, and that's where it comes. That's how, and then it's printed. But the bacon piece is really cool. And we were just talking about Mary Cassatt. The ferry boat, the setting is actually taken off, is a reference to an image by Mary Cassatt that shows an omnibus and three women in an omnibus with a child. The bacon piece actually is a nun and two other women who are kind of looking at her strangely.
Askance,
I guess we could say. And so we have this issue, and if you think about it, in the time period in which Bacon is doing this, if a woman wanted to get a solid education and go on to be a professional, say, teacher or professor, the convent and being a nun was one of those options. And so while the ladies are looking askance at this nun, she's also, you know, part of a tradition in which women navigated how to be part of a world in which they were supposed to be ladies.
Another piece, which is beautiful, is a picture from 1890. And so tell us about this. This is, I guess, ultimately for Rookwood pottery.
Yes, well, we have two pieces from Rookwood. One is a small picture that was made by Amelia Brown Sprague.
Yep.
And the other one is anonymous, and it's more of an arts and crafts piece. But Rookwood is an example in which we see women supporting other women artists. And actually, it is Maria Nichols who founded Rookwood Pottery in the early 1880s, and she hired mainly women to create art pottery. The brown kind of glaze, which was called standard glaze, was actually created by Nichols as a kind of brand, so you could recognize all the Rookwood pieces. She not only employed a lot of women, but she also gave women like Laura Fry full use of the workshop, the chemistry lab, etc. And what Fry did is she invented something known as the atomizer, and that creates that beautiful gradation that you often find on ceramic pieces. And not only did Fry invent this, but Nichols allowed her to take the patent out on it. So Fry earned the money, not the company.
And this one picture I just thought was beautiful with the floral on it. This is the one by Sprague or Sprague that is shown. But not very, it would only be four or five inches.
Yeah. Then the Rookwood pieces did go from these really minute, intimate
A creamer to vessel. A water pitcher, yes. We would say.
Well, actually, some of the vases go to be 2.5 to 3 feet high.
All right.
So
you can feed the team.
Yes, you can. So it really depends on, you know, you have a whole variety that goes to a whole variety of audience members and price points, I guess you could say.
And then, so we've been looking at talking about some of these pieces. So talk about some of the more contemporary ones. We mentioned the ones that are done from this year. But there are things from more recent, from the last century, that are in the collection.
Oh, yes, from the 1900s. The Lorna Simpson that I just mentioned is from 1990. We also have, by another African-American artist, Carrie Mae Weems. And I mention her because she actually, although she's born in Portland, her studio and her home are actually in Syracuse, New York. Weems is one of those incredible internationally known artists. She actually received a MacArthur grant a few years ago, which I think the vernacular for that is the Genius Award. But she did a series in the early 1990s called the Kitchen Table Series. We have one of the 20 photographs. And when I say photographs, these pictures are roughly about 3 or 4 feet by 2 feet in height. And she's looking at the kitchen as the woman's sphere. You know, we typically associate women with cooking and working in the kitchen. And if you think about also this extra layer of race, in which Black women were typically hired by white women to cook and be in the kitchen. And so what we find with Carrie Mae Weems is that she, rather than being this object of a gaze of the white person, or white male, she is instead making herself the subject of the picture. And we see all these different variations on the piece. So you have this incredible complexity. So whereas with the women in the 1800s, they might be teaching a lesson, what you find with women in the 1900s questioning and leaving open-ended works of art for the viewer to really come and bring their perspectives in terms of understanding the piece.
Miranda Hofelt is curator of the 19th Century American Art Collection at the Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute in Utica. The new exhibition is Celebrating Suffrage. It is now on view at the museum in Utica. You can find out more at mwpai.org, mwpai.org. We also have the link on our website, and you can hear this interview again. Miranda, thank you so much for being here. What a great pleasure.
Thanks. And I would like to point out that the show ends on April 19th.
April 19th.
Yeah, very soon.
So get going.
So get going, and it's free.
Excellent. Even better.
Even better.
You have until April 19th. Check it out online, mwpai.com, to plan your trip. Miranda, thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.